Good morning. Thank you for tuning in again and appreciate you joining us. And as I always say, I hope you've had a blessed week and God has blessed you richly and you've been faithful to the Lord in your prayer time, in your Bible time, and serving Him through some of these perilous times that we're going through. I'm praying, as I know you are, that this will soon be over and we'll be able to have fellowship once again in the Word and with each other. I appreciate all of you staying faithful to the Lord. And many of you have even sent me some messages and such, and I really appreciate that. You've stayed faithful in our with our online services here, and appreciate that very, very much. Well, if you would continue, as we often have said, several of our major prayer requests for our church, you know, continue to pray for our property and praying for our the construction to begin on our church. We're praying, trying to get all of that together, as you know, and all the preliminary steps that we need. Continue to please pray for that if you will, and as well. So if you have a prayer request, as I've said often, please let us know that. Contact us. We'd love to hear from you. If we haven't heard from you in a while, hey, shoot us a note. Send us a little note and let us know how you're doing. We'd appreciate it very much. Well, beautiful day here this morning in the mountains. We have enjoyed the weather here. It has just been gorgeous. And I hope you're enjoying the weather wherever you are. But the Lord has richly blessed us. I am so thankful. Glad to be with you again. And I hope you're ready to jump into the Word of God this morning. You have your Bibles ready. We'll get right into it. As we begin, though, let's have a word of prayer as we always do. Lord, we do thank you again for all that you're doing in our church, with our church. I praise you to see what you're doing with our nation, Lord. I pray that you'd help and guide us in these times of uncertainty for many people. Give us your wisdom and strength, Lord. I pray today that the message would be a help, would be a blessing. That's my goal, Lord. I pray that there's someone out there that knows you not as their Savior, especially, Lord, they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their lives would forever change. Lord, help us now. Guide me especially. Lord, lead me with thy Holy Spirit. In thy precious holy name of Jesus, I pray. And amen. Well, amen. Take your Bibles. We're going to get into it here this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel 22. We've been going through the last couple of weeks, and we've been in a series of that I've entitled, Get in the Way. Get in the Way for the Lord. I was just talking just a little bit ago with Brother Adam, and we were talking about how that if we're not careful, we get lackadaisical, lazy in these times especially. And many people can get that way. And I'm talking about our spiritual life. And we need to be very cautious and careful about that. You know that already. But just a reminder, we need to get in the way for Christ, for God. Let Him use you. Say, I don't know where, what, and how to minister, where He wants me, what He wants me to do. I may not have, you say, maybe some talent. I don't have a lot of that. No, avail yourself to Christ and say, God, take my life and use it. What do you want me to do? Anything that I can do. And you would be surprised and shocked at what God will do with your life. Oh, how He wants to use you today. How He wants to empower you with the Spirit to fulfill His will, to help those around you. Again, I say this often, but especially make sure you're cautious and sensitive to the Holy Spirit about the people around you. He's constantly at work trying to literally see people saved. You know that. And let your life be a tool, an instrument the Holy Spirit can use. All right, we've said all of that. Ezekiel, though, here, 22, and you that know your Bibles, this is a wonderful portion of Scripture, and I would encourage you, again, I just finished the book of Ezekiel in my Bible reading 2 days ago. And it's a book that it's a long book. It's often a very detailed book and it can get a little bit like you're stuck in it for a while. Don't let that discourage you. Take time to read through it because it is a challenging book. It is a convicting book and I want to encourage you to read through it. We get to the chapter 22 though, and I want you to notice this. Let's go to verse 30. 22:30. It says, and I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found, what's it say there? None. I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Some people often will say, oh, God is so cruel. God is so unfair. No, He's not. He's not. A little bit earlier in the book and a little later in the book of Ezekiel. There's references, there's statements made. Is God unequal? Is God unfair? God's not unfair. He's not unfair. And God is looking for a man and a woman today that He can use to fill the gap. Fill the gap. And so are you available? Let's look at several things here this morning. And I hope you have your pen and pencil and your Bible ready. Circle and underline some things here today that I hope will be a blessing and a help to you. But it's up to you and it's up to me to stand in the gap. You've heard that before. We need to stand. We need to make up the hedge. Have you ever had a responsibility in life or you're going through and maybe somebody that you're working with fails to do their duty, fails to come through, maybe fails to show up to work or something of that nature, and you have to take their responsibility with yours, and what you're doing is essentially what? You're filling in the gap. You're seeing a need and taking the lead. We need more Christians like that today. Oh, how I need that. How I need to be convicted and take that responsibility in many ways. I know. And so we see here that we are in a position today to fill a gap. You say, I don't see any needs. I don't see a gap. Well, if you take time to ask the Lord, He'll show you. He'll show you many gaps. First of all, it'll start in your own life. It'll then go to your own home, your own responsibilities right around you. And then it'll go beyond that. So as we've seen the last couple of weeks already, our stewardship and spiritual life is up to us. No one can walk for us, meaning spiritually. It must be our responsibility. We've seen our prayer life, our Bible time, our witness. It's all up to me as an individual. Now, there are gaps all around us that no one is filling, right? The average response to a gap is to pass the buck. You see a gap, you pass it. You know, you think about this. I'm reminded of the story in the New Testament, especially the Good Samaritan. You remember that story? The guy came down Jerusalem, Jericho, and he fell among thieves and he was laying there half dead. And you know the story. Levite came by, a priest came by, and they passed on the other side. They hopped the curb and went the other side. And finally, that Good Samaritan came and he saw the need and he said, somebody's got to do something about this. He picked that poor guy up and it says he put him on his own donkey, took him into town, put him into basically a hotel or an inn and paid the price and all of that. And we think about this and Jesus makes the statement. He says, who then was a true friend or who was the person there that stood in the gap, basically, if we could say. And you know the story, but we come back to, do we have what it takes to fill in the gap? It's up to you. It's up to me. Let me just say a couple things preliminary here. First of all, the reasons we don't fill gaps. Number one, we feel that maybe someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. We know there's a gap, but we believe someone else will fill the gap. But we've seen that throughout Scripture. We must notice in our passage that God is taking willing participants. He is not limited to those He can use. Let me say that again. He's taking willing participants. You would often think, well, no, maybe, well, the pastor can do that or the assistant or somebody. No, He's taking willing participants. Anybody that's willing. Ezekiel, you know, says basically in the latter portion, I'll stand in the gap, Lord. I'll do it. Here am I, send me. Remember Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these gentlemen. Here am I, send me. Someone else will do it. Number two, it's not my responsibility. We may feel that it's not our responsibility to fill the gap. Besides, we feel inferior. We may feel inadequate to do such a thing. Notice again that God is not seeking the highly qualified, but the one that will simply, notice what it says, stand. Stand. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Standing doesn't take a lot of talent. We could do that. What do you want me to do, Lord? Stand in the gap. Okay, well, you want me to do that? No, just stand. You know, so often we get so overwhelmed and we get so of our inadequacies and insufficiencies. And God says, if you would just hush up a little bit, wait, be patient, trust me and stand, stand. Oh, we've seen that already. Thirdly, maybe just a non-caring attitude. I don't care. Some just don't care to fill the gap. And that's okay, by the way. Listen, if you don't want to fill the gap, that's fine. God is not going to punish you, okay? He'll find somebody else to do it. But He's saying, if you'll stand in the gap, there's great reward for you. It's for your benefit. I want to use you if you'll allow me to. Number for distracted by important things. We can get distracted. Oh, so often, as we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night, we can get distracted. We can allow things to get in the way if we're not careful. So filling a gap will make us make a way for us, as we've said. We're supposed to get in the way. It'll disrupt our routine. It'll disrupt our schedule. It'll put us out, possibly financially. It'll put us out with people. And we know all of that. But are we willing to stand in the gap? I hope you are. Let me say a couple things here. First of all, notice the seeking of the Savior. He says, "And I sought for a man among them." We have, first of all, a God who seeks. He's seeking somebody. Now, who does God seek? Notice it says for a man. Now, again, it's not limited to a gender, okay? You know that. It's not limited to the male gender. He's saying a man, a mature human being, a person, spiritual maturity. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that in verse 11. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man," what's he say? "I put away childish things." Okay. You put away those things. Now, this in particular for us has to do with emotional, immature areas of our lives. Putting it away. And yes, I want to respond that way, but no, I won't, because I've matured in the faith. So who does God seek? He's seeking a man, a mature person. A spiritual person, as we've said, will take a large matter and make it small. An unspiritual person will take a small matter and they'll blow it up. They'll make it big. It's a big deal. They've got to let everyone know about it. We need to be cautious and careful about all of that, right? 1 Corinthians 3, you know, Paul says, "I wanted to come to you and give you the meat, but I couldn't. I had to give you the milk." You're not ready. You weren't ready. Hebrews 5, verse 12 in particular, he says, when you should have been teachers, in fact, you need someone to teach you again. You should have been the teacher, but you need someone to teach you because you're not where you're supposed to be maturely. 1 Samuel 13, 14, the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. He's looking for an individual he can use. Now, are you there? Are you there? It takes time. We have a lot of time right now, as you know, and you got to be filling that gap. You ought to be. Is there a gap in your own heart by way of immaturity? But who does God seek? A man. Letter B, where God seeks. Notice what he says. Where? Among them. God doesn't look for outsiders. He's looking right here. He's looking in our church right now and in your church, wherever you are. He's looking. Well, yeah, let that church do it. They've got more money. They've got more. They're more dynamic. They've got more talent in that church. No. You right now among them. Notice that. Where does he seek? Notice, number one, I have the dereliction of duty. Dereliction of duty. No one to be found to use. No one. He's looking for someone. I should not destroy it. Notice what he says. One of the most saddest statements, I believe, in the Bible. But I found none. You ought to underline that in your Bible. But I found none. Not even one. Not one guy. Do you remember what happened there? Mount Carmel. Elijah came. And he said to the people, all the prophets of Baal there. And he's standing there. And he says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, serve him," right? And it says the people answered him not a word. Not a word was said. Not one guy in the back spoke up and raised his hand. Nobody. I said before, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, but one of the first things to go in the life of an individual, a believer especially, that is saved, but they've fallen into sin or they've gotten backslidden, the first thing to go is their voice for God. Where they once praised God and exalted the Savior and were unashamed to share their faith with others and speak of the Lord, now they don't. We see that all the way in the beginning in Genesis 3. When God came walking through the garden and he called out to Adam, Adam said, "Well, I heard thy voice, but I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything." Now, coming back to, there is a dereliction of duty. Found of spiritual maturity, found of a spiritual mindset, found of spiritual motives. We ought to have that maturity, the mindset, and the motives, and all that comes with it. Where is he looking? He's looking right here, right now. Right here, right now. In these perilous times, where everything's been going on, yes, right now. God's, you know, taking his hand off our nation. He said, no, he's still at work. He's still in control. And he's looking for somebody. Oh, I'm too old. I don't have the energy or the physical prowess, if you will, to do it anymore. No, he's still looking for somebody. And if you'll volunteer, God will use you where God seeks, who God seeks. Number two, notice the delegation of duty. Someone else will do it. Delegate. We take it off our shoulders. It's out of our strength. We obligate it to others. We give it to other people. It's not for me. Not for me. And so we see here, as we understand God is seeking among us, number three, let me say the disdain for duty, the disdain, the fear or even disdain for filling a gap. You ought not to get to the point where you disdain, oh, I hope God doesn't use me. I hope God doesn't ask me to do that. You ever been there before? Oh, I hope God doesn't ask me to go help them. Hope he doesn't ask me to share the gospel with them. And it comes back to our time with him. So we have a seeking Savior. Let me move ahead here. Number two, the service of the Savior, though. The service of the Savior. It says to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land. In the land. Now, letter A, the purpose at hand is to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Now, the protection rebuilt. Make up the hedge. Okay. We're building up a foundation. You know that. A foundation. We're building up what was lacking. We're building up what was broken down. As we went through in the beginning of this year, January and February, we went through the book of Nehemiah. And we saw how that he built up what was broken down. Again, back to that story with Elijah there. And it says that he repaired the altar before the fire came down from it. He built what was broken down. We ought to be in the habit of building the things that have been broken down. You look all around us in this world today. Oh, broken down, broken down. Everything's been broken down. And you think about the purpose at hand. We're to make up the hedge. Make up the hedge. The protection rebuilt. Building up on that foundation. Let me say, letter B, building for the future. We're building for the future. Are you building for that future? As we think about it. Think about the generations that are behind us, generations that are before us. As you think through, are we building for the future? You and I ought to be building for the future. And so understanding that, looking through, as we understand this, the personal, number two, the personal responsibility, stand in the gap, regarding observation, meaning we're looking at ourselves, we're observing what's going on, and we're coming back to Romans 12, 12:1 and 2. He says, be not conformed to the world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind, that you may know the will of God. You understand and observe what's going on around you. For us to have our heads in the sand at this time and be blinded to what's going on, it's very foolish. It's very immature. Very immature. To not read a book like Ezekiel through and go, whoa, if God is unchanging, that God is actively at work right now in our nation as well. And he's not turning a blind eye to any of this that's going on. You read and look at the news or study any of what's going on right now. Just the debauchery, the degradation of our society. Oh, what's going on? People are so concerned about something so insignificant in certain areas and not concerned about their spiritual health. We got to come back to under this point of personal responsibility, not only observation, but the opportunity. The opportunity. Do you know, my friend, an opportunity is coming to an end very soon for you to serve. And you can, as we said Wednesday, you can lose rewards. And I don't want you and I don't want to stand before Christ without a reward, without something. So understanding the opportunity given. Are you in the way for God? Get in the way, as we've said. Get in the way. Let God use you. You will be shocked and amazed and filled with joy when you get to be used by God in a great way. Now, let her be the perspective from heaven. He says, before me in the land, before me. The priority is God. Notice, before me. It's about God. It's about God. If you haven't noticed, everything you do should be about God. It's about him. It's about what he wants. It's about what he's asked us to do. Are you fulfilling those things? It's before me. I think, again, one area I know in my life, and I'm assuming in your life as well as a Christian, if we're not careful, we get caught up in self. Well, what's in it for me? well, what can I benefit out of it? Well, I'll only give if I can, you know, get in return. I want to make sure I know where that's going. And I'll only serve if I can get something out of it, and et cetera, et cetera. No, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. And we sing several hymns of the faith that I love, but in essence, they point to it's all about Christ. It's all about Him. So the priority is God. He says, before me, the plans are God's plans. It's His prerogative. It's His, what He's wanting to do. So you think about this here with me. I sought for a man. I sought for a man. You know that God's eyes are to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking for somebody, looking for someone He can show Himself strong. He can work through. So we see here, and then let me say number three, there's a solution for the Savior, a solution. Now, what's the challenge? Obviously, the challenge is a gap. There's a lacking thereof. There's something there that's lacking. There's the challenge. We're faced with challenges every single day. There's challenges, and with every challenge, there's a choice to go this way or that way. As we said before, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Every choice you make in life, every little choice you make, it comes down to that. Is it for my pleasure, for me, or is it for God? I had to take one of my vehicles into town and get it worked on and repaired, and I sat there, and it took a while, and I was sitting there for several hours, and I sat there and I thought about all the people that were walking by and all the cars that were going past, and I just thought about how many people. I thought, I wonder if that guy knows Christ. I wonder if she knows the Savior. I wonder what problems she's dealing with right now in her life and he's dealing. Those thoughts just go through your mind. There are gaps all around us. And there's challenges, isn't there? Challenges. I would pray that you are praying that God would use you in some way to see a soul saved. Lord, put that person in my path. It's difficult. It's not going to happen overnight, but you pray, God, put that person there. The challenge, there's gaps all around us. Let her be the call. He's calling someone. So what's the solution? By God, to call. He's calling. Now, God can do whatever He wants to do, but He's in His divine wisdom, some things we don't understand and can't understand, He's decided to use people like you and people like me to do His work, to be a tool used by Him. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, I know I am. I am. I am so grateful that God would call us. That doesn't matter your age, by the way. You're a young person. You're a child even. You're an elderly person. You're a middle-aged person. Wherever you are, God needs you to fill in a specific gap in your life and in your circle of influence. All of us have that circle of influence. There are people in your life, your circle of influence, that I could never reach. There's people in my life that you could never reach. Are we doing our part to reach those people and to fill the gaps? The call, the challenge, the completion, obviously, that the gaps would be filled. God's desire is that there'd be no more gaps. And so there's a solution. Let me say number four, and we'll begin to wrap it up. The sad commentary by the Savior. The sad commentary. As we said earlier, or I said earlier, underlining that phrase, but I found none. I found none. I found none. First of all, there's a denial of truth. A denial of truth. People will turn a blind eye to it. Oh, no, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Let's go to Luke chapter 13, if you have your Bible still open. Luke 13. And I want you to see with me what Jesus Christ, His plea, His heart, His desire is. Luke 13, verse 34. I'm sure you know it. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Notice this. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not! ! Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, can you imagine that scene there? Christ with a tear in his eye, crying out, if you would just listen, if you would have just followed and heard what the prophets were telling you, I'm calling you back. By the way, it is not difficult to serve God. You read through the major and minor prophets from Isaiah all the way to Malachi. You know what the overriding theme of all of those books are? It's a call back to God. get back to me. It's not hard. He says, I am bringing this punishment, this captivity, this wrath, if you will, upon you. Why? Because you disobeyed and you went and served idols. A disobedient and gainsaying people, God says. Jesus cries out, oh, Jerusalem, if you would have known the time, he says in another place, the time of my visitation, you would have known this. You killed the prophets. You stoned them that were sent unto thee. For what reason? To fill a gap. They came to fill a gap. My friends, today filling a gap is often a dangerous position. It's a dirty position. Sometimes you have to get your hands dirty. But you're looking to serve Christ, the denial of truth. Let her be the desperation of the righteous. The desperation. He's looking for the righteous. As we think about Genesis 18, I'm reminded of, you remember Abraham, as that great scene played out. He said, oh, if you'll find this many righteous in Sodom, he says, okay, I won't destroy it. Oh, okay, how about this many? And this many whittled it down, didn't he? He couldn't find any. Couldn't find any. What a sad commentary. Sad commentary by the Savior. Our God is patient. Our God loves us. Oh, he's so kind to us, isn't he? He's waiting. He's waiting for just a few more. A few more. Are you praying? The denial of truth, desperation of the righteous. Let her see the desolation of the truth seekers. Desolation of the truth seekers. Is there any? Is there any? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, he says, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, I will pardon it. If there be any. Hey, Jeremiah, find just one. If there's one, I won't destroy it. I'll pardon it. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. People say, oh, God is so unjust. He's so unfair. He's so harsh. No, he's not. He's a God of love and compassion and grace and mercy. And he says, if there be any, that indicates just one person. I will pardon it. The desolation of the truth seekers. There's none. He says, I found none. None. Are you in the way for God? He could use you today. He could use you. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, whatever your age is, whatever your level of ability is or lack thereof, you can be used of God if you avail yourself to Him. Notice that. The sad commentary. I found none. I found none. Psalm 106:23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Lest he should destroy them. Moses, you know, stood before those people. He stood between an almighty God and a sinful people. And he said, God, spare them. Spare them. And so seeing this, God is truly looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Turn back to chapter 13 of Ezekiel if you're still there in your Bibles. Notice what he says in chapter 13. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Notice that. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They're following their own spirit. They've seen nothing. They're liars. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They've seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? Have ye not spoken of a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. I have not spoken. Oh, the Lord said we should. No. God says, I didn't say that. You're a lying prophet. You're a lying prophet. We need people, as he said here in verse 5 of 13, stand in the gaps. You have not gone up into the gaps. You've not done. You want to stand on the housetop, on the podium, and in front of people and proclaim this great passionate thing that God said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I need somebody to stand in the gap. So there's a gap needed, you know that. In this instance of Scripture, it is literally standing between man and the wrath of God. There are gaps all around us. We must be attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've said We can stand in the gap through prayer. We can stand in the gap through witnessing. We can stand in the gap through a good testimony, and on we could go. It's not difficult to do if you and I will take the time. So I challenge you, my friend, today. Are you standing where you should? Are you in the way for the Lord? As that great servant of Abraham said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. See, the Lord does all the work if you'll just put yourself in the right position. And it's not hard to do. You get alone with God and say, God, I want to be used of you. I don't know what that means, but I want to be used of you. And as the great Apostle Paul said, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? I want to do what you've asked me to do. Are there gaps around you in your life? Make up the hedge. Make up the hedge. Stand in the way and remove that statement from your own life. But I found none. Wouldn't it be awesome if God would look down on your city, your little area where you live, your neighborhood, the street you live on, and God would look down and say, but I found, wait, no, there is somebody. There is somebody there. As God looked down upon earth, as you know, in Genesis, and it says a statement that I think is one of the most profound statements in all the Bible. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one man among millions of people, one man. That's all it takes. God's looking for somebody like you. No matter your age, no matter your background, or wherever you come from, God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Get in the way for the Lord. I hope that was a help to you and a blessing as it was to me. It really convicted me and encouraged me to think about God's looking for somebody, and I can be used by Him for my good, for His glory. Amen? Well, I'm praying for you, as I often say, and I can't wait. Hopefully, very soon, we'll be able to get back together, our time of fellowship, and we're excited about that. Pray for our church. Pray for one another. Pray for each other, if you will. All right? We'll close with a word of prayer. God bless you, my friends. I hope to see you this evening. All right? Lord, we thank you for an opportunity once again, and praising you to gather around your word. Thank you so much for the grace you bestowed upon us. But Lord, help us to be attentive to the needs around us, to the gaps that are constantly all around us. Maybe it's in our own spiritual walk, Lord. Maybe it's in our own lives. Father, we know this life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will truly last. Give us your focus and your help. We love and thank you, Father. Guide us now, we praise you. And all these things that were said today, we take to heart. In thy precious holy name, we thank and praise you. Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Well, thank you.